y'all would, let's go to Leviticus 23. And what I'm going to do, because we pretty much, I'm going to do an introduction because of time. I think this ties so much into what happened here today. And the reason why I'm saying this is just like, you know, BJ. How much did y'all enjoy BJ? Amen. That was awesome, wasn't it? That's right. We got a big yee-haw to that one. But he did awesome. He's got a dynamic voice. And I'm so appreciative that he was able to minister and use his talents. I can't believe that he gets nervous. You know what I'm saying? But he says he does. So I'm going to believe him because I do sometimes myself. It's the talents and how the Father brings people here and just how there was no one testimony, no one word or whatever. It was a combination of a body ministry, being able to minister. There's no big I's and little U's. Everybody is very, very, very important. And you never know by the leading of the Holy Spirit to be able to know what to say, when to say it, when to move, because you never know what you can unlock to be able to set people free. Amen. And so it's real fitting to what I wanted to do here. I mean, it sort of tells you what this is, but those that are visiting, we call this a lulav. I want to go through the scriptures, and I want to go through these particular plants that's on here. Because it just so happens to me, each one of these from the citron or the eggtrog, which is the little yellow one at the bottom that looks like a lemon, which is a citrus, you can eat it and it's edible, all the way to the date palm, the myrtle, and the willow. Each one of these are distinct in their own ways. And I liken this really to the body of the Messiah as a whole. And so we're just going to hit an introduction from this. And then we will pick up next week all the way really going into the church of Ephesus in Revelation about where they left their first love. What does that really mean? So verse 39 says this. It says on the 15th day of the seventh month. Now I know you probably sitting here say we've done been through Sukkot. Now where in the world are you going backwards? This is chapter 23. Because what we've done is you remember last time we talked about these last 2 weeks, how it's so important. Shabbat sets everything else apart. This is a weekly way that we come. These are fixed times. Scripture says appointed times, fixed times of whenever we're to meet, whenever we're to be here. The Father sets these times, we don't. If we start setting our own times, then we're in disobedience. Really what we're telling Him is, you listen to what we've got because we know more than you do. And we don't know more than our Heavenly Father. He created us. I know we think we have bigger britches than He does, but we don't, guys. Amen. So it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, it says, when you gathered in the produce of the land to celebrate the feast. And we talked about this word celebrate. Rejoice, celebrate the feast for Yahweh for 7 days. And it says, on the first shall be a solemn rest. And on the 8th day, it's a solemn rest. We did that when we were up at Walkaway, whenever we were celebrating the Feast of Sukkot. But here's the scripture. It says, and you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim for 7 days. And that rejoice is synonymous with waving, dancing, praising, and just celebrating the Father in His feast, whether it's Passover, whether it's Shabbat. What do? When we come in here, we worship and praise. We wave our hands. We praise Him. We don't sit on them. Amen. It's just celebrating. And we need to say, Shabbat, every Shabbat is a celebration. It's to be a celebration. We got 6 days to be gloomy. But on the 7th day, it's just not allowed. On the 7th day is His day. This is a day that He wants us to bring our offerings to Him. So if we got gloominess going on, we need to drag ourselves out of the mud and the mire, and we need to prepare ourselves. That's why I always say, whenever Shabbat is over with this evening, I start preparing for Shabbat next week. The reason is, sometimes it takes 6 days to bring yourself up to where you can get to a place of praise, especially when you've gone through battles during the week. But this is a time to celebrate, because I can promise you, just like whenever you were feeling like you were feeling, I hope and pray that you're way uplifted now, because you got a lot of people that's coming around you and let you know that you're loved and you're appreciated, and you have a portion here. I know that at Sukkot, when we was there, she was there with her pen and paper. Tammy was busy, and she took a big load off of her to be able to help people get to their rooms and get to their places and make sure that, oh, you don't have a bunk bed? We'll find you a bunk bed. So it was a great way of just, we all, there's no one person can do this, guys. If you do, Moses couldn't do it. Now, he had 4 million people to deal with, but he couldn't do it. And so you see that even there was a structure there of how people were given. Now, we can understand that when it talks about fruit of splendid trees, there were various fruits. We do see palm trees listed, and we see a willow listed. So we have them two here, and it'll say boughs of leafy trees. So there's no doubt that even when you worship, sometimes when we go to Sukkot, hey, we may have to go break off an oak limb. But whatever we need to do, that we worship him. But I thought that these plants were very significant. Now, I'm going to try to, I'm not techie at all. So I hope when I touch this thing, little John, I don't wipe it out, okay? Because he may have gotten techie over the years, but I'm still not techie. See that little red dot? I'm doing pretty good. Okay, so what I wanted to do is I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to start with the citron, and then I'm going to work my way back, and you'll see what I mean when I'm talking about backwards. So anyway, this is the citron or the etrog. Now, this particular plant, it has fragrance and it's edible. And this is what it means. It has fragrance. You can smell it. If you ever had one, you can smell it. It smells good. And you can eat it. I've never ate one, but I know you can eat it. It symbolizes those who are learned in the Torah, who's learned in the commandments, and are righteous in deeds. Those who are learned, this is what this means. This symbolizes those who are learned of the Torah and are righteous in their deeds. This is the reason why I wanted to start here instead of at the bottom. What happened during the first century with Yeshua and the disciples, this would represent Peter, James, John, Paul, Shaul, all of those who understood the Torah and they had righteous deeds. They would be one who were not only, they bore fruit, but they smelt good. In other words, their deeds were a fragrance to the Father. It's not so much as how we smell to each other, it's how do we smell to Him. And what we're doing in our righteous acts and our righteous deeds, because that's what Matthew 7 says, your righteous deeds, it says, when you do these righteous deeds, it says others will praise the Father which is in heaven. And that's what our deeds are to do, but we're also bearing fruit. Remember when Brad Scott came here and he said this, and I never will forget this because this was a breakthrough for me. When we were raised in Christendom, it was all about sowing seed. It was all about going out and sowing the seed. But the thing that he taught us was this. We are to bear fruit. And when we bring our fruit to someone, the seed is in it. You see what I mean? Because whenever somebody needs help, we need to go and help. Whatever that help, we need to go and help. If they're hungry, we go feed them. If they're naked, we go and clothe them. If they're in prison, we go visit them. What are you doing? You're bearing fruit. And when you bring your fruit to them, the seed of Yeshua is in there. They get the seed by the fruit. It doesn't do you any good if somebody is suffering to sit there and just pray for them and you don't help them. Prayer is of the utmost importance, but if you can help them, that's what we need to do. It's both. It's not one or the other. It's both. That's why we always talk about people being as debt-free as you can be. Because if you don't have, you can't give. If you don't have, you can't help. So during this time of the first century, we do see people that were learned in the Torah. Paul and them was very learned in the Torah, and they had righteous acts. And that's very important. That's where we're all heading, is that direction. So the next one is the date palm. It's this one right here. You see this one is bound in the middle? Now they get this from the heart of the date palm, which is in the land of Israel. It's in the Middle East. It's part of this lulav. The date palm, it provides food. In other words, you get dates from it. But it has no fragrance. I didn't really realize that until I was trying to smell of that thing. And it has no fragrance. But it does provide food. And what does this symbolize? It symbolizes people who are learned in the commandments, in the Torah, but they're lacking in good deeds. Now you start seeing that there are people out there, they know the Torah, but they're not willing to serve. They're not willing to help anybody. They're not willing to do what you need to do. What is the Torah all about? We say the Torah, and the Torah is the teaching and instructions of the Father. Right? They're the teaching and instructions. In other words, this book right here tells us how to honor Him, what He expects of us, and He tells us how to get along with one another. That's the whole thing of this book. It tells us how do we to treat one another. And how do we treat one another when everybody's nice to us? It's easy. But when somebody stabs you in the back, how do we react? Do we react or do we respond? And this book will tell you, and it'll give you an answer of what we're to do. It'll tell you in here, even when you have enemies and you're going by their farm and you see their goat stuck in a fence with his horns, you can't just drive by. You got to get out and you got to help free that goat. That's what the commandments tell you to do. If you see an animal hurt in a ditch, it says that you are to bring it back to your enemy and you're to give it to him. Do you know that maybe these acts of kindness may heal a relationship between two people? So the date palm, even though it produces fruit, it has no fragrance. The next one is the myrtle. And that's this one right here. And this myrtle right here, it has fragrance, but it yields no fruit. But it yields fragrance, but it doesn't have any food with it. So what do you have here is you have people that are filled with good deeds, but they're lacking in the Torah. So you see a digression going here. You still see that there's some plants. These are what the Father had told us to wave and to do. Now, I know that during this time, the rabbis came up with a way to be able to have together a lulav, to be able to present to the people, to be able to wave before Him. Even though that we're waving them the whole 7 days, the 8 days, I know that a lot of times on the first and the last day, we get together and we'll say a blessing and we will wave the lulav. But you can wave this every day is awesome, because we do wave our branches every day. But I want to show you that the myrtle has a fragrance, but it has nothing to eat, so it shows good deeds. And you know, you will see that. You will see people that can serve and will serve, but they lack in the Torah. But do you know that, like for us, I wasn't raised in the first two-thirds of the Bible. I was raised from Matthew to Revelation. And I was raised in a way, and it was just, you know, I was raised Baptist. So we were raised a certain way, and we had certain doctrines and certain creeds. Like I said, I married my wife. She was Pentecostal. She was in Assemblies of God, Church of God. And then she was in Assemblies of God. So the thing about it is I sort of had to learn about this Holy Spirit thing. You know what I'm saying? That was very new to me. And there was a lot of nuances. Like I said, when we worship and praise in the Baptist church, you didn't raise your hand and you didn't say amen. If you did, everybody looked at you like you had said something that was wrong. In the Assemblies of God, if you didn't say amen, they all looked at you because something was wrong. Amen. And in the Baptist church, when you prayed, one person prayed. Depending on how old he was, the older he was, the longer the prayer. If he was young, they were ready to go because they had to get out of there at 12. In the Assemblies of God, whenever they prayed, everybody prayed at one time. And I was like, I don't understand how he can hear what's going on, because everybody's praying at the same time. So what happens is we were raised in a situation to where a lot of times we had good deeds, but we lacked in the Torah because we didn't understand from Genesis to Malachi. We didn't understand the first five books of the Bible because we were taught that the laws and commandments were thrown away. They were not for us today. And so you still have people having good works, but they lack in the Torah. But what happens is when we get into this, we start learning the Torah. We're not to do away with our good works, but in other words, We have fragrance, but now we need to start producing something in our life to produce food for people. And then the last one is the willow. And we're going to close with this one. And then we'll pick up in Isaiah next week. The willow has no fragrance, and it doesn't yield any food. So it shows that you're lacking in Torah, and you don't even have good deeds. And I'm like, what are you there for? You know what I'm saying? What are you there for? That's this one here. And I thought about this, but the willow tree makes a good shade, so it can do something. But how many times do whenever we get saved, whenever we ask Yeshua to come into our life, a lot of times when people come in here from different walks of life, from different places, there's people that come in here that, I mean, they can be walking in the grossest sins and not know that that sin is wrong. They don't know it's wrong. They've never been taught. You never know what's going to happen. So what happens is in the beginning of our walk, we can be a willow. We cannot have any fruit, and we don't even smell. Good thing we don't smell bad. Amen? But we don't have that. But here's the beautiful thing about this lulav in the way it's placed. When you put it all together, and this is what we've been talking about this year as we're heading into this season, is about binding together as a community, about how he binds us together. Mark done that about a rope, and we talked about cords and all of that. We talked about threads. It takes threads or strings or whatever to make a rope. A rope just don't show up. It's wrapped. Little John will tell you, he's a mechanic. We pulled off a lot of cables off of cranes. And you know, around those cables, you can see, but inside of those strands, there was what? There was a core in the middle. And you know what? You couldn't see that. You couldn't see if the core was damaged. And the core is everything in a crane cable. But we're inspecting them, they're greasing them, and we're doing them. So guess what? We just had to know that one day you're just going to use that for so long, and then what we're going to do? We're going to change it. We may be changing a perfectly good cable. But do you know what? You couldn't chance it because you couldn't see the inside core that was wrapped around. You just had to know for safety reasons, because if you've ever been offshore, and if you ever had somebody in a crane pick you up in a basket 100 feet over the water, you better hope that core is good. Amen. Or if you're pulling a big load and you're down there helping the load come off the boat and that cable break and snap, and they have done this, I guess, before, you don't want to be down there. So what I'm saying is with all of us wrapped together, is the binding together. Is if you took a willow, and if a willow came into the body of Messiah and he was still a willow and he wasn't bound together, how would he learn? We learn from one another. It takes those. There's some people that's been doing this a long time. We learn from one another. And just like we've learned today, no matter how old you are, you're still learning. Amen. And the Father's still working on you in your life. But what he's wanting us to do is he wants us to produce fruit, and he wants us to smell good. Because nobody wants a stinky believer by them. Amen. You just don't want a stinky believer by you. And a stinky believer would be one who's sowing all kind of crazy stuff out there. If you ever wanted to know, just go ask Rabbi Google on the internet, and you'll come up with all kind of crazy things. Now think about this. The world we're living in today is nuts. It is nuts. So I guess that's another language. You got people killing people. You got people sending bombs in the mail. Our society, through the political scene, has got everybody on edge. You got the extreme left and the extreme right being extreme. And people, just normal people, it is sad where we've come today as a society and a people. But the whole reason is, and we're going to go to this next week in Isaiah 1, is because the congregation, the church as a whole, has failed. It has failed. What we've done is we've allowed, and you're going to see in the scriptures as we go and we break verse by verse, we've allowed, it's going to talk about foreigners. It says foreigners will overtake you. Now, foreigners is not a problem when it's legal and people are coming in and doing what the Father says to do. It's when people are coming in illegally or people are pouring in, and yeah, they're pagans, and what they're doing is they're bringing their gods and they're bringing their ways, and they're saying, you know what, I'm coming into your land and you're going to do what we want to do. No. That was the whole problem. That's why the instructions of this Torah was clear. He said, do not, Yahweh told the Israelites, they were going in the land of Canaan, and not only were they going in the land of Canaan, they was going to run people out, but guess what? When they came out of Egypt, it wasn't just Israelites that came out of Egypt. They brought a mixed multitude with them. But in that mixed multitude, they did not know the ways of the Father. They didn't know the ways of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know what? Really and truly, a lot of the Israelites that was born in Egypt didn't know those ways either. Most everybody knew the ways of the Egyptians. So they all had to learn. They all had to go through this process. They were all willows at one time. And they had to learn this process. And it took a wilderness experience before they went into land as a citron to be able to understand the Torah and have a sweet fragrance. But he told them and he warned them. He says, when you go into the land, you drive out the inhabitants. And he said, do not let your son take their daughters. Why? Because you will learn the ways of the pagans. You will worship their gods. You will worship their Elohims. He said, that's what you're going to do. And so what happens is in this land today, we have a melting pot, no doubt. And we have a bad situation on our hands. When you're sitting there and you can't even worship, and you're going to have somebody go, I don't care, you can't even worship. And you got people that want to hurt, kill, maim, and do that. You know, that's why more and more and more, and we've talked about this, and I'm going to close with this in these last days. You better know your calling and make your calling and election sure. Because the thing about it is you never know with what's going on in this society. And don't sit here and think, because you're in Loosedale. It wasn't long ago in Texas, there was this little town, probably smaller than Loosedale, probably about the size of Mulvey. Amen. Amen. Just a little bitty place in between Kaplan and Gaydon. There's just a little place. There was just this little town, and all of a sudden, because somebody was mad at mother-in-law or whatever, they go in and they shoot somebody, and they go shoot a bunch of people, and you know what? The person that they was after wasn't even there. And they just go in there and they just start shooting innocent people. We have to know, and we're going to see it, but let me just say this. If we do our part, I can't control what Washington does. I mean, we can vote, and I encourage people to vote, but you can't control, you don't know. Half the people on the ballot, you don't even know whose name that is whenever you look through there. You know, you're just looking for an R or a D. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. So research, but it matters. The Father's in control. He says, I set up kings and I set up kingdoms and I bring them down. The thing about this country that we live in, it is a perverse nation. The Father's going to do some correcting. He's already started some correcting. And I think this is why you see a divide of an extreme right and an extreme left happening. But now, an extreme right, I'm not saying that extreme right is holy and that extreme. These extremes are trouble because they're still wanting to try to force you to do what they want to do. They're still not going to do what this book says. But do you know what makes it even difficult for us as believers of the whole Testament? It's believing and having other Christian brothers and sisters believe in the whole Testament and not just part of the book. It's by believing in all of the book. Because if you throw away, and we said this last week, when you go through the New Testament, and I challenge anybody to do it when you got plenty of time and it's raining a lot and you can't get outside, is go through there, just take one, and any time you see where it in the New Testament where it's quoting the Old Testament, take a marker and mark out those lines. There won't be hardly anything left. You think out of this book, a third of it is the New Testament. If you take out of that third and you see where they were quoting Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Zechariah, so how are you going to read, figure out what he's talking about from the very beginning? This whole book is important to us. everything in there. The New Testament is valid. It is very valid. It is inspired word. I still believe that. But the New Testament, for the most part, is a commentary of the Old. It's telling us and trying to help us understand what the Father. How many times did we read this? What does 1 John say? John 1. In the beginning was what? Word. All right, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I said this last week. In the beginning was the Word. Well, Yeshua's not quoting John because the book of John wasn't written yet. Amen? The book of John wasn't written. Matter of fact, the New Testament wasn't written yet. It was written way later in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And so, what was John talking about? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim, with God. And the Word was Elohim, was God. In the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, so who's in the beginning? Who was slain before the foundations of the world? Yeshua was. So Yeshua is this Word written down for us to read. And if you throw two-thirds of him away, you're going to go get a hatchet and chop him up and say, we don't need this part of you? No, you need it all. Everything is of importance. There's a lot of things that we don't do in there. We don't sacrifice with animals because Yeshua is our sacrifice. We don't have a temple. There's a lot of things, but you need to learn because all of these laws and commandments, they point to things. Just like when we were talking about these little plants. You know, I just used a little simple example. A willow, when it comes into the body, can't be by itself because it'll never produce anything. It has to learn to grow, and if you will take all of these together, we can be a bouquet. If I give you a bouquet of flowers, I'm not giving you one flower. I'm giving you a handful of flowers. That's what makes a bouquet. That's what makes things beautiful, having the colors. Fall is a great time of year because of why? The beautiful colors. It's just not one color, rust. You know what I'm saying? It's the beautiful colors of all the leaves, from yellows to the different reds. That's what makes things beautiful. We as the body of Messiah, that's what makes things beautiful. So when we come in, so you know what? And I'm going to say this and I'm going to hush. And then Tammy might say something. I see you got a hand up. And it's this. But if you're a citron, don't look down on the willow because they don't know anything yet. Because guess what? One day, they're going to be smelling good too. Amen. Tammy, you got something?
There's another concept too about these. You know how we've been talking for the last 6 months about how our physical body shows forth. It's a visible thing on this earth that shows forth the kingdom of Elohim. And so what we see with, we've said even your fingernail, if you cut your fingernail off, it's not going to grow another millimeter apart from the body. We have to be connected. So the body works together to show forth the kingdom and how it's supposed to function. Well, also, if you'll go back to the lulav, please, there's another concept to it working together.
Amen.
The etrog is shaped like the heart. The lulav, or the date palm, is shaped like a spine. The myrtle leaves are shaped like the eyes. And the willow leaves like the lips. So together, these four elements show that we should serve Elohim with our heart, our body, our eyes, and our mouths.
Amen.
So all together, you can see when you have the foliage, the word foliage in the Torah, that is actually the word pri, which is the word for fruit. So when it says to take, so there is fruit there. So when we have our fruit and our greenery together,
Amen.
We're also representing the body
of
Messiah, worshiping our Elohim with every part of it. Amen. That's another good side of it.
Amen. And I know we didn't teach on this before, but I wanted to bring this out because of what we've been teaching on. Because when we go to Isaiah, we're going, you know, if you take a quarter, 25-cent piece is what I'm trying to say, you have two sides to it. You have a heads and a what? They're totally different, but they're the same thing. It's of the same coin. You got a heads and a tails. The thing about it is as we're learning and we're going and we're doing, I just believe because of what's happening in this land, it's almost, and I'm talking about all the craziness that's going on, it's almost like it was the stirring in Egypt. Whenever Moses starts coming on the scene and you're starting to see all of these plagues and all of these things happening. And if you could see and understand and have the discernment of what the Father's doing, He's trying to get us to trust Him in everything that we do. I know that we say, yes, I trust Him, I trust Him, I'm excited, and all of that. Somebody points a 45 between your eyes and you fall to pieces. Yes, we say we trust Him, and I know we do, but He's wanting us to get to the place to where we trust Him, that we're not moved by terror, that we're not moved, that when we can understand that when the Father's doing something, remember this, whenever He split the Red Sea, He delivered Israel, and He destroyed the Egyptians. When He brings something catastrophic on this earth, it's usually for deliverance and destruction, when? At the same time. So you can't look at it and be fearful. If you're fearful, you're on the wrong side of this thing. You need to know and trust that whatever the Father does through these great and wonderful things that He's going to do, that you have faith and it doesn't matter because He's doing it. And it's usually for us, He's always going to do it for deliverance reasons. But at the same time, He can't put up with sin. He's going to be doing some destroying. And I think that's what you're seeing all over this world. As you see, I mean, there's war. They said there's wars and rumors of wars. There ain't no rumors. It's happening. Places on fire everywhere. Just know that in these times, you have to do what the Father asks you to do because you cannot control what's going on the outside because He didn't ask us to. Amen, guys.